This is Scenic Roots. I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for joining us. Rick Rushing learned how to play the guitar here in Chattanooga. He performs locally and regionally with his blues band, Rick Rushing and the Blues Strangers. In the past year, Rick has been one of the teaching artists working in our community through the Wolf Trap program at UTC's Southeast Center for Education in the Arts, now known as the Arts-Based Collaborative at UTC. Rick, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Ray.
Tell us how you got into music.
Well, I got into music by exposure in the home and through school, early education, church, singing. And so it was always been a part of my life. It's weird to, you know, continue to do it. I wouldn't say weird, it's a blessing. So it's a blessing to continue to do something you love.
And you regard music as a universal language, a way to reach adults and children alike. When did you realize that you had that take on it?
I didn't realize the bigger picture of music until later in life. But thankfully, early on, I had the exposure to it. So as a kid in elementary school, it's not necessarily cool for boys to sing. So chorus was one of those classes that I had in elementary school where I was there. I liked it, but I couldn't really express how much I liked it, you know, because it wasn't cool to be, you know, to sing. So later on in life, then when I added the guitar as my main instrument to help support singing, and you get exposed to, hey, who wrote that song? You know, who did, you know, all this great music is a guitar and a voice. So then it becomes a little bit more cool. And I was able to do it, you know, as a professional.
And of course, you are a graduate of this campus.
Yeah. UTC was my final place for my education, my degree. And it's, you know, it was a great campus when I was here. Being able to play in the jazz band with Dr. Tony D'Andrea, who passed this year, was one of the blessings, the opportunities that I had when he kind of showed me how to be a band leader, be out there and to work it to perfection and rehearsal, you know, and then during the show, we're going to do it just as well. So UTC has definitely been, Chattanooga's been a place of roots for me as far as musically, just to be able to take the scenic city in and focus on the arts.
Because you came here from elsewhere. You came from Cincinnati.
Yes, sir. And Cincinnati it's south of the Mason-Dixon and it's on the Appalachian Trail. So it's got a lot of ties to Chattanooga. The Reds used to be the Lookouts, or the Lookouts used to be the Reds farm team. So Hamilton County and Chattanooga, Hamilton County and Cincinnati, of course, and Riverbend and Chattanooga, Riverbend and Cincinnati. So Cincinnati's arts is ridiculous right now. They're doing so much great stuff. And it's glad to be in this time where arts are going to be back to where they should be in this foundation.
What would you say has changed during your time here, and what's stayed the same?
The way people look at live music now has changed. And that's changed because tourism is a big asset for people who come to Chattanooga and in Tennessee in general. When you hang out in Tennessee and you hear about, well, Nashville's the music capital of the world, Chattanooga, Tennessee's the home of Bessie Smith, Usher Raymond, and the list goes on. There has to be correlation within the roots of the city. So the person who taught me how to play guitar was from here, you know, and it's just how it is. So it's exciting to be able to give back in the aspect of the kids who you used to see yourself as. And I believe that's what a lot of the musicians who have passed away and who have gone tragically or whatever would be doing if they were still alive. Because you can't be on stage every night for 3 hours when you're 50 years old. And I'm not 50 years old or 50 years young, but it is what it is.
Right.
You can be, you know. B.B. King did it. Henry Gibson did it from the Juke Joint. So it's really up to you when you are an artist. That's the responsibility. That's the anxiety, that's the creativity, that's the fear. You jump out there and you say, let's see if you can swim. And until COVID-19, you know, Chattanooga's been very supportive of the arts. UTC has definitely been very supportive to me as well. What can you do except use what resources you have in a pandemic? Well, you can't go outside. You can't go to these big gathering and festivals. Well, you still have that acoustic guitar over there. You still have that ukulele. Your kids are running around thinking, what can we do? Well, yeah, get some ukulele lessons, get some guitar lessons, and see how it helps the kid, to your children or your friends or your relationships, your social interactions.
Tell us more about your work as a teaching artist through the Wolf Trap program here at UTC. What has been known as the Southeast Center for Education and the Arts, now calling itself ABC at UTC. Tell us more about your work with them and through them.
My work through the Wolf Trap organization has been very much freeing in the aspect of be as creative as you can with what you have. And they allow the teaching, you know, not allow, but encourage the teaching artists to try different things, use different approaches, and be yourself. Be yourself. Be yourself. Have quality content of education, music, and things to share, art. So learning how to, I guess, more specifically, yeah, it's great. I knew how to read a book to a group of kids, and I've done it, and I enjoy it. But the teaching artist and the Wolf Trap artist was able to take that book and bring it to life to the kids in front of them just by potentially finding characters in the story, you know, that the kids could relate to, and activities in the story that the kids could replicate and build their confidence, because they're comprehending the story, they're connecting with the characters. So Wolf Trap said, you know, Rick, you don't have to be Rick Rushing, the blues guitarist, and come out here and shred blues or whatever for kids. And their teachers go, you know, all right, class dismissed, go. No, you can read a story, find the musical elements, the rhythm in the story. The book I have been using and I enjoy using is a book called Otis. And it's by Lauren Long, and it's about a tractor. I chose the book because of the name Otis. I said, that's cool. You know, made me think of Otis Redding. Maybe this tractor has a radio on it. So let's get to it. So I chose Otis. So when you use the Wolf Trap model and you have a teacher right there with you, and the teacher's holding the book, potentially reading the book, and the Wolf Trap artist is sitting there supporting the teacher and pointing out, oh, look at Otis's face right now. Wow, does he look happy or sad? He looks happy. And why is Otis happy? Because he loves his job. He's a farmer. It allows that story to come alive versus us just saying, Otis was a tractor and lived on a farm. He loved his job. He used to play in the haystacks, you know. So we take the haystacks and we replicate them with high and low tones and allow the kids to go high and low like the tractors. Yeah, so that's what Wolf Trap has allowed you to think about as an artist, and where you can make things come alive and different.
What's something that you have learned or been reminded of through this experience?
How important early childhood education is. The 3 to 5 age is the most important developmental age. Kids who are exposed to trauma during those ages statistically will show that they have other issues in life. And that's a sad but true statistic. So what's that have to do with early childhood education? Is having kids exposed, or having kids, parents supporting activities, and teachers and neighborhoods and communities supporting activities that their kids can take confidence in and learn discipline. You know, that's how it was in my house. I played the cello. So if I practiced my cello at the house for an hour, I was expected to be able to go to school and hang in there for 5-6 hours. And so that's what Wolf Trap has really shown me, just to give back to those early kids if you can, because the arts is not necessarily always, it's also intimidating in ways. So to people who say, I can't play guitar, I can't, teachers or people in general, but that's what the teaching artist helps. Wolf Trap helped me kind of mesh that together where I can show you all a little bit and y'all take it from there where you're comfortable. These are non-musical goals. These are educational goals.
Who inspires you still to do what you do in music, in life beyond music?
My family. My family inspires me in getting to be older and more experienced and being able to talk to your family who's older and more experienced and supportive. That inspires me a lot because we all have our chances. Sometimes we all have our shots. And if you don't have family support, it's a lot harder. So they inspire me to keep it going, keep going. And whatever it is, staying safe, COVID, staying safe with racial injustice, staying safe with everyday activities. But knowing that they're supportive still inspires me.
We're dealing with many difficult problems all at the same time. What do you try to get across to children and adults that you work with when you're operating under difficult circumstances such as these, such as the ones that you were just talking about?
I try to get across the use of the arts, namely music, to help those type of situations. Because most of the situations that come problematically is wrangling all these kids who are potentially in their own worlds of play and games. And so the stress potentially comes from teachers. If I have to tell you one more time, Bobby, get over here and grab your book bag. The arts and the aspects will have your teacher potentially being able to say, to get her, getting her or his harmonica out and saying, that was a low tone. So the children might need to understand to lower their voices. Okay, Mr. Richards in here now, he said you are going too low, which makes it less stressful for the teacher and less stressful for the kids to potentially have to hear their teacher getting on to them. Musical cues, bells, drums, harmonica, all these instruments that I, as a guitarist, was like, yeah, you know, they're there. But then you see how effective they can be. And now, so as a guitarist, I'm thinking, yeah, I can play the harmonica now too. And with the djembe drum, I can just sit in with a djembe drum. Or I can get everyone participating in an introduction with something like that, with a drum, which makes kids more open for learning. They feel included. They feel part of the process versus sit down, sharpen your pencil, turn to page 6. Now, if you remember page 2, you're talking about photosynthesis.
That'll bring you a low tone.
Right.
So beyond the work as a teaching artist, just given everything that's going on now with COVID, what's next for you? What are you working on now? What are you planning to work on next?
I'm planning to work on more songs for kids in the avenue of the teachers are so tired. I mean, not, I wouldn't say so tired, but they know, you know, there's a lot of songs that they have sung 1,000 times that they're like, hey, I wonder if we can come up with some new songs to help our kids with the right vocabulary we're trying to introduce. So I'm working on some songs. I've already had some songs that I've been using and they've gone over pretty well. Kids are sponges and the teachers are receptive and willing with the talent that they have, not, you know, not trying to be on stage, be professionals, have followings, whatever, in the aspect of the business and the music industry or such, but just with their kids. A lot of teachers are very talented. They're going to be able to have fun incorporating the arts in their educational curriculums.
Where can people go online to follow all that you do?
You can find me on the regular social media platforms, Facebook, Rick Rushing, Instagram, Rick Rushing the Third, Twitter, Third, Rick Rushing, Reverb Nation, Rick Rushing and the Blue Strangers, that's my band. Yeah, those are pretty much social, you know, social media things. We'll see what happens for the rest of this year. Hopefully I can have some other stuff to talk about, but I'm going to keep writing and keep playing music. And thanks for the support. I'm glad that you're here with us now in these times, lending us your skills. Ray Bassett, thank you.
Well, Rick Rushing, thank you for all that you do for this community, and look forward to more conversations with you down the road.
I appreciate that. The Osborne Foundation is the reason why we were able to work on this last grant, so I want to make sure I thank them, because it allowed a lot of pre-K kids who've been missing their teachers to see their teachers and allow the teaching artists to come in and help them reacclimate some of the things that they hopefully will be doing in the classroom coming this fall, if it's permitted. So I want to give them a shout. And everybody at UTC, Mox, we create together, we fly together. Go Mox.
That we do. Thanks, Rick.
For more on the Arts-Based Collaborative here on the UTC campus, visit utc.edu/arts-based-collaborative. You're listening to Scenic Roots. More in a moment.
I'm Will Davis, and this is Tennessee Valley StoryCorps. Stories from people who went to the StoryCorps mobile recording booth when it came to Chattanooga last year. Today, a homecoming. Dan Gilmore talks to his daughter, Alice Gilmore, about their road trip from California to Tennessee.
What were your feelings when you heard that I was going to be driving back with you instead of your mother?
I was eager to have time with both of you because of all the lost time that I experienced with both of you. So I was grateful to have time with either one of you.
Was there anything that you hoped we wouldn't talk about or I wouldn't ask you about?
Not really. So I feel like, so if anyone does listen to this, they can stop being confused at this point. I was in a domestically abusive relationship for 3 years, and the relationship was physically, emotionally, psychologically, financially, sexually abusive. So I was very isolated from my parents during that time. After living basically what was to me a double life for so long, getting things out and not being quiet and not keeping things inside is really the only way I see I can navigate my life moving forward. So I kind of learned in that time in California, which is where I went to finally get away from the abusive partner who lives here in Chattanooga. I felt like I had to say everything at all times, no matter if it would be bruised or misunderstood. So there's absolutely nothing that I would like to not bring on the table, whether it's in a road trip or in a StoryCorps van.
I know you told me, and it's really stuck with me, how much more difficult it was to speak out and admit to others what was going on than actually enduring the abuse. And that was, I can't tell you how powerful that was to me. And I've told so many people that just really hit me.
Mm-hmm.
And I really admire you for being able to do it.
Well, thank you.
And continue to do it.
I'm so thankful to have a dad in my life who listens to my side, believes me, is always on the side of like the woman or the victim or the survivor. I have so many friends, dads who just aren't that way. And I know firsthand there's a lot of men in the world who are not that way. And I just feel so grateful to have someone as understanding and empathetic, qualities that were obviously carried down to me through you. And so I'm endlessly grateful for the perspective that you lend me on the situation, because I can't imagine trying to get over it and it not being so easy to mend the relationships that were strained with my parents. If I had to, like, I didn't really have to work hard to get these relationships back, because you and Mom just took me right back with open arms. And I can't imagine what it would have been like if I would have to, like, work really hard to get those relationships back and to prove myself to you all in some way.
I am most proud of you, Alice, because you do stand up for yourself and you are determined to never be taken advantage of again.
That was Dan Gilmore and his daughter, Alice Gilmore. This conversation and others like it are available online at wutc.org, and you can subscribe to the Tennessee Valley StoryCorps podcast wherever you get your podcasts. This series is produced and edited by me, Will Davis, and created at the Pod Lab at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga.
This is Scenic Roots. Good afternoon, everybody. Time is tight. Enough time simply for me to say, please let me introduce you to a world-class fingerstyle guitar player from a show streamed on the Barking Legs website this past weekend. This is Peppino D'Agostino. Thank you.
lot of people like this song. It's called Ancora un Istante, and I dedicate this song to my dear friends, Mary and Jay Bielanski in White Station, New Jersey. Hi! That's for you, for everybody, but especially for you. Viaggio senza sosta, è questa vita, un viaggio dove nessuno sa qual è la meta e dove sta, ma basta un istante e con la fantasia cercare un prato e lì sdraiarsi per un secondo e poi il sole scalderà in un solo istante. Silenzio sulla strada, è ancora buio, paura di ritrovarsi soli, ma soli non si è mai. Ci basta un istante, e passo dopo passo, pianure e monti, città e villaggi di gente come noi che adesso siamo qui, cercando un istante per vivere solo un istante, ma vivere per non pentirsene, vivere solo un istante, ma vivere per non pentirsene mai. Viaggio senza sosta, è questa vita, un viaggio dove nessuno sa qual è la meta e dove sta, ma basta un istante perché noi siamo un mare grande che il vento muove, noi siamo un'onda che non si ferma, che non si infrange mai, ci basta un istante per solo un istante, ma vivere per non pentirsene, vivere solo un istante, ma vivere per non pentirsene mai. I hope you're doing well. We're living very strange times and crazy times, and we need to do our best to be safe. I hope you and your family are doing well. I'm in California, and I live in a little town about 45 minutes an hour from San Francisco. It's really a nice little town. It's a, you know, about 30,000 people. So, you know, I, like every guitarist, we have heroes, guitar heroes. And one of my heroes is Leo Katke. And I had the chance to open for him different times for Leo. And also, we actually played one time a couple of songs in my hometown for my family and my friends. And I could not believe that I was there playing for Leo Katke, with Leo Katke. And
is still one of my guitar heroes and an inspiration for me. So I want to play for you a piece that I studied long time ago. And I remember telling Leo, I sent a text to him the other day, because, you know, occasionally we talk, and I say, hey, Leo, I'm going to play that piece. it's called Red and White, Red and White by Leo Kottke. Hey, Jimmy Silver, ciao. Red and White by Leo Kottke. So now I'm going to sing a song. It's one of the most really well-known Italian song in Italy. And it was also the soundtrack of a movie called Flight of the Phoenix. This piece... was written by Gino Paoli, and it's called Senza Fine, and it's a beautiful song, Senza Fine. Fine, tu trascini la nostra vita senza un attimo di respiro per sognare, per poter ricordare quel che abbiamo già vissuto. Senza fine, tu sei un attimo senza fine, non hai ieri, non hai domani, tutte ormai nelle tue mani, mani grandi, mani senza fine. Non mi importa della luna, non mi importa delle stelle, tu per me sei luna e stelle, tu per me sei sole e cielo, tu per me sei tutto quanto io voglio avere.
fine. Tu sei un attimo senza fine. Non hai ieri, non hai domani. Tutto ormai nelle tue mani. Mani grandi, mani senza fine. Sei sole e cielo, tu per me sei tutto quanto io voglio avere senza fine. Tu sei un attimo senza fine, non hai ieri, non hai domani, tutto ormai nelle tue mani, mani grandi, mani senza fine.
Lovely melody, senza fine, senza fine. I think I'm going to change guitar. By the way, the guitars that I'm going to use are guitars that I actually design with a company in Canada. The company is called Godin, G-O-D-I-N, and they make beautiful guitars. This one, it's a Peppino D'Agostino signature model, and I'm going to now switch to another one, still a Peppino D'Agostino model. And this guitar, I had this guitar for about 2 years now. And this is the revised model. And I'm gonna play a piece for you. A piece, it's a French piece. You know, I love all kinds of styles of music, and this one comes from France. And it's a piece that was arranged by Roland Dianz. A wonderful guitarist and composer, Roland Dianz. Roland is no longer with us, unfortunately, but he left a legacy of incredible music. His last name is spelled D as in Douglas, Y-E-N-S, Dianz, Roland Dianz. This piece is called Indifférence, originally for accordion. Thank you. That was Indifference, a piece originally written for accordion and arranged by the wonderful Roland Dianz. I'm going to play another piece that I love. This one was written by Marco Pereira, a great Brazilian guitarist and composer. It's called Bate Coxa. Thank you.
from a performance streamed on the Barking Legs Facebook page this past weekend, Peppino D'Agostino. We'll have the second half of that concert for you here on Scenic Roots on WUTC next Tuesday afternoon.
I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for listening to Scenic Roots. We come to you from WUTC at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Thanks, as always, to our producers, Haley Solomon, Carly Dodson, and Will Davis. Email us at scenicroots423@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at scenicroots423. Listen to us online anytime at WUTC.org and the WUTC app. For Richard Winham and the rest of our team, join us again next time for Scenic Roots.